awesome. All right. Well, so this morning we are wrapping up our series that we have been doing through the course of coming back to church. We've been talking about maturing and resting in Christ. And the reason we took a break from 1 Corinthians to do this other series instead was we're saying that this is a unique experience for all of us to go through a pandemic. But what is not unique is our experiences in the midst of that pandemic. Like, God has put us through some very similar types of events. And as followers of Christ, our goal is to make sure that we learn all the lessons that he has for us in this season. This is unlike anything else that has ever happened to us. And because of that, we want to be faithful stewards of what God is trying to teach us. And so we spent the last 7 or 8 weeks talking about all the different tools that God has given us to equip us for the ministry that he has for us. And one of those things that he's given us is this idea of being with him. That when life feels hard and heavy, we can come to Jesus, whose yoke is easy and his burden is light. And that is actually, that's the first message we did. And that's been the overarching theme throughout this whole series. Is how are we experiencing the love of Jesus in the midst of a pandemic? And so everything else we've talked about has been towards that end of how are we knowing to how do we know the love of Jesus? How are we growing in the love of Jesus? And how are we leaning into the gifts that he has given us? So things like encouragement from other Christians when they call into focus the presence and work of Jesus in our hearts, or things like the Sabbath, a gift that he has given us, where once a week we pause from work for a day in order to enjoy the presence of God and to worship him. Other things like mission or evangelism, the idea that if God has saved us, he has also sent us. And then last week we talked about this idea of culture and where is our place, and when the world is blowing up and burning down and everything is going terrible, our job as believers is to behave in such a beautiful way that the world around us, our neighbors, they see the beauty of our Savior. The beauty of our behavior should point people to the beauty of our Savior. And so what we're going to do this morning to wrap all this up, to tie this together, is we're going to go over Psalm 23, which is probably the most famous psalm in the whole Bible. It might be the most famous passage in the whole Bible. But what the goal of this is saying, if God has given us all these tools in order to experience his love, how are we ensuring in our hearts that we are indeed walking with our good shepherd? Okay, because it's easy right now when life feels like it's kind of gone back to normal. There's a lot of things that are returning to normalcy. We can watch baseball again. Isn't God good that he's given us this gift of baseball to enjoy on sunny afternoons and things? Things like that. Life is starting to go back to normal. So it's easy right now to say, yes, we want to experience Jesus' presence and experience his love. It's much harder to have said that in the beginning of April when things were locking down, when it felt like the world was blowing up and we had no idea what was going to happen, when we were completely out of control with everything that was going on in our lives. And so what God has given us is a lot of times we fail to remember stuff because we leave it in the conceptual realm. We just think of things as ideas. There's this idea of God's presence. There's this idea of God's love for us. But what God has given us in his word is a powerful picture and a metaphor of how he cares for us. And so this morning we're going to talk about the metaphor of Jesus being our good shepherd. And this image and this metaphor is supposed to be so poignant that it sticks with us even in the dark, shadowy times of life. Even when things feels like it's falling apart, we want to lean into the presence of God and say that it's okay to be a sheep if the Lord is our shepherd. So I'm going to say a prayer, and then we're going to study Psalm 23 together. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your presence for us this morning. I thank you for your word that you have given us, that we can come into the Holy Scriptures and know that this is your word, that it is true, and that it has been given out of your love for us. And so as we pray this morning, as we study this scripture passage, as we meditate on Psalm 23, I pray that this would not just be phrases on a page or a nice sentiment or something that you would crochet on a pillow or something like that. I pray that this would be food for our souls. It would be water for our hearts. It would be the thing that nourishes us with your love and presence. And we would all leave more in love with you because of what you're showing us in this passage today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So yeah, if you have your Bible, turn to Psalm 23. If you don't have a Bible, the packet for the worship packet has that today as well. And this is where it's going to get really tricky. The holding a Bible and trying to hold a microphone. Probably not going to work. Okay, so we're actually going to read through Psalm 23 four different times this morning. So I'm going to try to go quickly through it. And each time we read through it, we're going to focus on a different aspect of what God is showing us in this phrase. Because we've all heard Psalm 23 before. This is not a new concept to any of us. But what my prayer is this morning, as we meditate on these words, that the Holy Spirit would speak to us in fresh and powerful ways. So open your Bible, turn to Psalm 23. And as I read this slowly the first time, just meditate on God's care for you. Think about the ways that God is showing you how much he cares for you through these words. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yeah, so I said, like I said, this is the most famous poem in the world to most people, but this is not just a poem. This is water for our souls that comes from God as he shows us how much he loves for us. And so the first thing we talk about is the Lord is our shepherd, right? Jesus is a good shepherd who cares for us. But here's the bad news about Jesus being a shepherd is that means that we are all the sheep in this scenario. And you don't have to know much about sheep to know that being called a sheep is not exactly a compliment. Okay, sheep are some of the dumbest animals that exist. They have no way to defend themselves. They're completely helpless and hopeless. They're weak. They're in the animal kingdom. They are insignificant. They have nothing really going for them except they have nice wool that we can make clothes out of. Okay, that's the only thing that they're really good for is being harvested. In other words, and so when God says that we are His sheep, that's an insult to our pride. It's something that is an abrasive to our desire to be seen as strong. I think my favorite story I've heard of just how dumb sheep are came from 2005. There was a news story in Turkey where there was a flock of 1,500 sheep. So a ton of sheep in this one flock, and one sheep had this idea to wander off this cliff to its death. And then sheep being sheep, they started to follow each other one after another over this cliff. And in the end, all 1,500 sheep wandered off a cliff. Okay, that's how smart sheep are. But here's my favorite part about that story is only 450 of the sheep died, because as the pile got bigger and bigger down below, there was this fluffy, woolly landing pad for the other 1,000 sheep that came over the edge. So that's what it means for us to be a sheep, right? And none of us like the idea of being weak and vulnerable like that. Even in this time of coronavirus, right, we have these new categories. We say someone is in a high-risk category, or they're part of a vulnerable population group. This is the weaker brother we need to care for. And all of those things, we direct at other people, but we don't want those phrases directed at us. We want to think that, you know, left to ourselves, I am strong enough that I can get through life together. But what God has shown us through this pandemic is that we are all weak and vulnerable. That there is none of us who can get through this on our own. And the reason I know that's the case is because think about the anxiety we all felt back in April. Think about the tension in our hearts and the anxiety and the fear that was present in every single one of us. If you think about animals again, there's predator animals and there's prey animals. And if you're a prey animal, you are always filled with fear and anxiety. It's like a horse. Even though a horse looks to be powerful, if you try to sneak up on a horse and make a loud noise, you're going to scare the heck out of it and it's going to run away, because a horse knows that it is a prey animal. And because it's prey, it is always ready to run away. Okay, and the anxiety in our hearts that we felt in April and May and all throughout this season shows us that deep down we know that we're weak. Deep down we know that we're vulnerable sheep. Deep down we know that we cannot care for us. We have these huge needs in our lives. But here's the thing about being needy, is the only time it's bad to be needy is if there's no one there to care for you. Okay, having needs is not a problem as long as there is someone there who can care for you and meet those needs. And that's what God is saying, is even though we're weak and helpless sheep, that's okay, because the Lord is our shepherd. And it's okay to be a sheep if the Lord is the one who is our shepherd. So we're going to read this again. And as we read through this Psalm 23 this time, I want us to think about our weakness. Okay, read these verses and think about how weak and frail you are apart from God. Think about how you are unable to save yourself. Think about how you are unable to provide protection for yourself. Think about all of the ways you need God to care for you. And in the midst of that helplessness and need, hear the word of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So in the midst of our weakness and our vulnerability, God takes this role of this loving and caring and providing shepherd. Okay, God provides for us all of our needs in the midst of our weaknesses. So we see his provision in that he gives us green pastures. Okay, so all these metaphors are both tangible and emotional and spiritual. They speak to practical needs, but also to the needs of our hearts. So not only does God provide food for us because he loves us, but he gives us, when we're hungering for something more with our lives, he leads us to green pastures. Okay, he gives us this, leads us to still waters. And so when we're feeling dry, God provides refreshment for us. He restores our souls. So when we feel like we're dead on the inside, he can bring a return of life and vitality to our hearts. Okay, he leads us in the paths of righteousness. So a path of righteousness is a place where we can thrive and experience our good because it's the place that we were created to be, these paths with Jesus. Okay, he prepares a table for us. So when God sets the table, it's a feast of celebration. It's abundant provision. I love this image. It says, our cup overflows. Okay, a lot of times we think that God is a God of scarcity who is only doling out little things at a time, just barely eking by and barely letting us know he loves us. But what this shows us is God is a God of abundance who fills our cup and just keeps pouring into it till it flows over the brim, saying, I love you so much. There is no shortage in my kingdom because I provide for you. And then look at all the action verbs in this. Who is the one doing all of these things? Or let me ask the other way. Look for yourself in here. What role do you play in making sure these things happen? The answer is none. We have nothing to do with what God does here. God himself takes all the action. He is the one who makes us lie down in green pastures. And I love that idea of he makes us lie down, right? Like he's saying, like, you need to rest. You need to be here. It's like a divine stay-at-home order. He's saying you're going to stop striving and you're going to rest here in these green pastures. He makes us lie down. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our souls. He leads us in paths of righteousness. He sets the table before us. He's the one that anoints us with oil. All of the action in this psalm comes from God. Okay, that is God's mercy and his love on display, is that we don't have to do anything to make this happen. And because he's the one that makes all of this happen, it means that he's the one that gets the glory for this. Okay, he's the one who deserves all the glory. It says that he leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Okay, the reason God cares for us is a picture of how great he is. And if God is so great and beautiful, then of course God is the one who gets the glory for this. Of course God is the one who gets the credit. Last week we talked about having beautiful behavior that points to the beauty of our Savior. And the answer to how we have more and more beautiful behavior is not by trying harder to do good things. It's by becoming more and more enamored in the beauty of who Jesus is. And when you see the beauty of who Jesus is here and how all the ways he cares for us and provides for us, you say, of course he gets the glory. How could I take any glory from God when he's the one doing all these things? I'm the weak, helpless sheep. He is the loving Savior who cares for me. I heard a pastor in Acts 29 say one time, God is for you. Okay, listen, God is for you. Anyone who dies for you is obviously going to be for you. But just because God is for you does not mean that it's all about you. Okay, life is not about me, it's about God. And even though God is for me, I'm not the one who gets the glory. The college Kelly and I went to, the president of it, used to talk about dog theology and cat theology. And I love this expression, so I've used it several times. But dog theology, dogs say, okay, you provide for me, you shelter me, you give me food and water, you care for me, you love me. Boy, you must really be wonderful. But then cat theology, cats say, you provide for me, you care for me, you give me food and shelter, you love me. Boy, I must really be wonderful, mustn't I? And what's going on there is that we all have this cat theology bent in our hearts where we think, of course I'm awesome, why wouldn't God save me? But what the psalmist is pointing us to here is God's glory shows that he has no obligation to care for us. It's God's goodness that says he does it anyway. In the midst of our weakness, he provides for us. And since he provides for us, the result is, he says right up front there in verse 1, I shall not want. Okay, because God is a good shepherd who provides for us, we have no wants, no needs that are unmet. Okay, C.S. Lewis says that he who has God and everything else has no more than he who has God only. He who has God and everything else has no more than he who has God only. The reason we can be content in our lives is because God has given us of the abundance of his love and the abundance of himself. Because God has given us himself, we have no other needs in our lives. And I mentioned this right when we first started this series after we came back from the stay-at-home order. We had a vacation in March that was canceled by the pandemic, and I was really feeling sorry for myself with that. I was like, what in the world is happening? That doesn't God know I need this vacation? Like, I need to go out of town to go to someplace sunny where I can lay and rest. And what I'm doing when I say I need this vacation, what I'm really doing is I am assaulting the glory of God. I'm attacking his provision. I'm saying, you're a lousy shepherd. I have all these needs in my life. How do you not know what I need and you're not providing it for me? Okay, but if we understand God's provision as he shows us here, we have this this divine contentment that rests in our hearts, where we say, God may not give me everything I want, but he has given me everything I need. And what I need more than anything else is to understand that my shepherd is good. It's okay to be a sheep if the Lord is our shepherd. Okay, so it's one thing to talk about vacations being canceled, right? I mean, that's like by definition a first world problem. You're like, oh, poor Will Guy, his vacation got canceled. But in reality, life is much harder than vacations getting canceled. Okay, there are wolves out there who seek to devour our souls, who seek to rob all the things that God has given us here. And so it's not just the provision of God that we have to understand. Jesus is a good shepherd because he provides for us. But we also see in this passage, Jesus is a good shepherd because he shows his strength in the way that he protects us in the midst of danger. So I'm going to read Psalm 23 again. And this time, let's listen for God's strength and power. Focus on all the aspects that show us how he protects us in the midst of life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, so we see the power of God, the strength of God, and the way that he protects us from danger. And so he talks about the valley of the shadow of death. So predators would know that shepherds had to take their sheep from the pasture to the pen. And on that path, a lot of times, if there was rocks or something, they could hide in the shadows and they would come out to devour the sheep. Okay, but the sheep know they have nothing to fear. And the reason they have nothing to fear is because the shepherd is present with them. Okay, the strength of the shepherd is what lets them know they have nothing to fear. And the shepherd has, says, a rod and a staff that brings comfort. So a rod was a short, like, 2-foot club that had a rock or a stone or something on the end that the shepherd could beat away predators with. And then the staff was more like a walking stick or the shepherd's crook that we've seen in all the old paintings and everything. And that was to help guide the sheep in the direction they could go so they should find the thriving of what God had for them. But because of that, they would not fear their enemies. Okay, so like I mentioned earlier, sheep have no way to protect themselves. They don't have claws. They don't have fangs. They don't have sharp teeth. They can't kick. They're really helpless. But the helpless sheep have nothing to fear because the shepherd is present in their life, so much so that they can eat in the presence of their enemies and still not fear. So think about that. Like if someone was trying to kill you, you could eat in their presence and not be afraid. Imagine that that the mob put out a hit on you. You know the mafia presence in Falcon, right? There's a big mob presence here. But like you knew there was a hit on you, and there's a hitman trying to kill you. And I said, hey, let's come over to dinner at my place. I do have to warn you though, that hitman's going to be at the table too. But I hope that's okay. Okay, the only reason you would do that is if you were so confident in your host's ability to protect you. That's the only reason you would show up. And that's what David is saying here, is we should have such confidence in the power and the strength of God that even if our enemies are present, even if all the things in life that are going crazy are around us, we can have no fear because God is with us. The strength of the shepherd will protect us in the midst of all this danger. And so what that means, a lot of times we talk about God providing for us, and we think if God's really going to provide for me, then life should be comfortable and smooth the whole time. But notice the tension here. That David is saying God is a good provider, but there is still the presence of danger. Okay, so God's provision does not equal the absence of danger. God's protection equals the absence of fear. Even though things may go wrong in our life, we don't need to be afraid because God is there protecting us, even if danger is present. The reason we know that he is there protecting us is because the shepherd is present with us. Okay, notice that the way that in verse 5, it shifts, verse 4, it shifts from talking about he and him as God to you and your as God. He's addressing God directly. He's pointing to his goodness directly. It's this personal, intimate relationship where David knows that God is with him and he's addressing him in the first person. He's saying the second person for all you grammar nerds out there. He's saying, you are with me. You will protect me. I fear nothing because you are here. Okay, and that leads us to the last thing we want to talk about in this psalm this morning. The reason it's okay to be a sheep is because the Lord is our shepherd. And what that means is he not only provides for us, he not only protects us, he is also present with us. So as I read through this psalm this last time, have an ear, listen for the ways that God is near in your life. And don't leave this out there generic like David the shepherd is writing this. Make this personal and intimate. Read this as God's letter to you, talking about how near he is to you, even in the midst of life's difficult times. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So again, do you see how near God is to David when he's writing this? First of all, he's near it in the fact that he is actually a shepherd. Okay, any good shepherd has to be among the sheep. Okay, David as a shepherd didn't sit on a hill and say, hey, look out over there, there's a wolf. It's coming. Oh, never mind, too late. Sorry, don't eat that, pastor. Go over this way. Like, no, a good shepherd is among the sheep, guiding and protecting them. That's how we know God's nearness. We also see when it says that he prepares a table for me. Okay, in the ancient world, eating with someone was a sign of intimacy and love. You would not invite someone to your table unless you cared for them. And God's saying, David's saying, God cares for us in the way that he sets a table for us. Anointing someone's head with oil was a symbolic action that demonstrated the presence of the Spirit in this person's life. And so by anointing them with oil, he's saying God is present with them. And just as you could feel the oil running down your face, he's saying God's presence with you is that close and that tangible. That's how close God is to us. And because of that, we have goodness and mercy in our lives. Okay, that's the steadfast love of the Lord. That's his loving faithfulness, his enduring kindness is present in our lives. And because of that, that's how we know we have comfort, is because the Lord is with me. We fear no evil because God is with us. That withness has been the goal of this whole series. These last 8 weeks, we're saying even in the midst of a pandemic, when everything is going crazy, we can experience the nearness of Jesus. And the nearness of Jesus is the thing that gives us hope and satisfaction, even when the world is blowing up. So look back at the psalm one more time. Only this time, imagine what would happen if the shepherd wasn't there. Okay, there's a book by Paul Miller where he talks about how his prayer life was really transformed when he began to meditate in Psalm 23, and he said, imagine that the shepherd wasn't in my life. What would you have? You would have, I shall be in want. You would have walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You would have fearing evil. You would have no comfort. You would have no table. You would have the presence of your enemies. All of those things would turn from these amazing blessings and signs of God's goodness to these amazing curses and things to be afraid of and to tremble at. Okay, and all of that comes because God is present with us. And so the goal for this series, the goal for this morning, the goal for our lives as Christians is to live in every waking moment so aware of the present love and the nearness of Christ that we know we are provided for. We know that he is protecting us, and we know that he is present with us. And because of that, it's okay to be a sheep as long as the Lord is our shepherd. And so what we're actually seeing in the midst of this pandemic is when we went on lockdown and everything went crazy, is all of us had these longings in our hearts that were stirred. We all had this sense of emptiness and a feeling that there's something out there that we're missing out on, and we couldn't put a finger on it, and we went to all these crazy ways to try to fix ourselves. But what this passage is pointing to is that what we really are longing for is the presence of God. We are longing for a spiritual home where we can rest in at his side, where it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Okay, the Hebrew phrase is actually, I will return many days to the presence of God. And I love that idea of returning many days, saying, I'm going to again go back to the presence of God. When I wander away, I'm going to again go back to the house of God and feel his nearness. St. Augustine said that you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. Okay, that restlessness that we've been feeling as Americans comes because we've been looking to other shepherds. And as sheep, we have to look to the Lord, because the Lord is our good shepherd who cares for us. So as we transition here, we want to start to think about communion and what does it mean for us, for God to not only be our shepherd, but to be our savior as well. And so as we think about different ways where we're reminded of God, of our weakness, as we think about different hard things that happen in our lives, we need to always remember that God uses difficult seasons. God uses hard things like pandemics and stay-at-home orders and riots and all these different things to remind us that we are weak sheep in need of a savior. Remember, it's okay to be a sheep if the Lord is your shepherd. And so we want to look at John chapter 10 verse 11. And we see that when Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." Okay, that is where we're going to ultimately find our hope and our comfort is, because it's not just, there's this idea of a shepherd out there who cares for us. There's this tangible, physical reality that the reason we know God cares for us is because he was willing to die for us himself. Okay, a shepherd's job is to protect the sheep, but only a really foolish shepherd would actually die in their place. Okay, but that foolishness of God, that seeming foolishness of God, is actually the wisdom of the cross, Paul tells us. It's where we see his love most tangible, that the good shepherd was willing to lay down his life for his sheep. And we see not only that the shepherd cares for us, but for our sake, the shepherd himself became a lamb in our place. Okay, the sacrificial lamb was the thing that atoned for the sins of the people of Israel. And when John says in John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," we see that Jesus is not just our good shepherd, he's our sacrificial lamb who has died in our place. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to take communion together. We haven't done it outside yet, so this might be a little bit chaotic. If you don't have the elements yet, we have a few more juices and crackers over there. We're going to sing a song, and during this next song, go over and grab some of the elements and return to your seat. And while we're singing this song, what we want to meditate on is the fact that God has shown his love for us and that the shepherd became the lamb and died in our place. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this amazing passage that you've shown us today, the way that it points us to your love for us, the way that it points us to our need for you. Lord, I pray that we would not run from our weakness, we would not hide from our failures, but we would instead see those as reminders of your grace, that you have given us this weakness, this humble existence on earth, as a sign that you are a strong Savior who can protect us. Lord, I pray that as we sing this song to praise you, I pray that this would be for your name's sake, that you would get the glory, we would realize our desperate need for you. And then as we partake of the elements here in a moment, I pray that that would remind all of our hearts of the way that you have broken your body for us and shed your blood for us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.